Good afternoon, warm greetings to one and all in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. How to share your life, I thought it should be pretty simple and straightforward, isn't it? But when you compare some of the epistles written by the Apostle Paul on how he concluded his epistles, you realize that they are very different. For example, when he concluded the epistle to the Corinthians, in 1 Corinthians, he did mention certain names. The churches of Asia salute you, Aquila and Priscilla salute you, and so on. This epistle was written by the Apostle Paul to deal with certain transgressions. But when you look at 2 Corinthians, you realize that he was very, very curt, as it were. There was no mention of individuals. There was no intimacy, a close, friendly tone or relationship. He simply said, "Finally, brethren, farewell. Be perfect, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace shall be with you. Greet one another with a holy kiss, all the saints salute you." And that's it. No mention of any other believers' names together as part of his greeting. Why is that the case? In 1 Corinthians, he was told of some problems in the church in Corinth, and he addressed them in that epistle. But then when it came to the second epistle to the Corinthians, it was a totally different issue. He was not just dealing with certain transgressions, but certain false teachers that the Christians in the church in Corinth seemed to have embraced. And these false teachers undermined and attacked the Apostle Paul very vehemently. And so the Apostle Paul in the second epistle, he was not even sure at the end of it whether he succeeded in convincing them that his apostleship was legitimate, that he was truly called by the Lord Jesus Christ. Do not reject his gospel. Do not reject his counsel in helping you be a holy church. And so he was not certain whether he managed to turn them around, whether the false teachers had succeeded. And so he concluded in verse 8 of chapter 13 by saying, "For we can do nothing against the truth but for the truth." In other words, even if I fail to convince you and you reject me, you don't want me and don't recognize me as your spiritual father because God used him to found the church in his second missionary journey, or you do not want me and you believe the false teachers regarding my apostleship as if it is false, throw me away, fine, I can accept that. But don't throw the truth away. For you can do nothing against the truth but before the truth. The doctrines that I have taught you, the gospel I give to you, they are from God. They are the truth. You want to cast away the messenger, fine. But don't cast away the message. And so it was not a kind of an intimate, close relationship. And so he just simply concluded, "Finally, brethren, farewell. I want the best for you, even though you may reject me." So there was no term of intimacy or closeness, as you can see in 2 Corinthians. And you find the same in Galatians too, because in Galatians it was the same thing. His apostleship was also undermined. And so you realize that he was even more curt compared to 2 Corinthians. Last part of Galatians, where he says, "From henceforth let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. Brethren, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen." That's it. There was no sharing of individuals like you see in the book of Romans, where it was to help them to address the problem of what it means to believe in Christ. And the evidence of someone who is born again in Christ, the last five chapters of Romans, chapter 12 to chapter 16. And then you realize that he mentioned a lot of names, there were a lot of greetings, you realize that he was very friendly. There was no attack on his apostleship on this person. He was helping them and they recognized him as their beloved apostle. And you find the same in this prison epistle to the Ephesians. You find the same to the Philippians. Very close, very intimate. And that's where we get the title, How to Share Your Life. Because he wanted to share his life with them. Now, of course, he was in prison under house arrest. And surely he was not able to travel freely. He will be released for a while. And then he will be rearrested. And then he will be killed after writing 2 Timothy. So he knew that his time was nearly up. But he still wanted them to understand his life, his struggles. And so he shared with them, but that ye also may know my affairs, to know what I'm going through, to understand a little bit about me. And that's how the title, How to Share Your Life, comes about. And I hope that all of us may realize and become more aware and sensitive to the manner in which we share our lives, from what we are going to look at this afternoon. Because sometimes when we are not conscious, we become very careless in how we relate to one another, how we share our love and reveal ourselves to people. We are children of God. Our witness and testimony as Christians, because we call ourselves Christians, is more than just about ourselves. How we share ourselves is crucial in our witness for Christ. And so the first thing we see from verse 21 is the means. Bear in mind the means that is being done. It's more than just you talking and living and sharing your life. It's the means that you share life with others, because others will talk about you. Others will spread your life to many, many others. Even though you are not around, like in this case, he was in prison. He could not be with them. And so he sent, and how I do. And so he said, I want you to know my affairs and how I am doing in Rome under house arrest. And so Tychicus, my beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, shall make known to you all things. So he sends someone, Tychicus, because he trusted Tychicus. He knew that Tychicus will not sabotage or betray him. You must understand that when it comes to sharing your life, you depend a lot on the people whom you have come into contact with. And sometimes you may not even come into contact with them, they may have come into contact with you because of modern technology. Someone can get into your account. I don't know what account you have. This is a world that I do not appreciate nor understand, where your own private lives are very, very much public. You tell people what food you eat, you take a picture, you load it up. You tell people where you go. Sometimes you share your life, your family with them, your children, yourself, because you take pictures, your birthdays, you load it up. This was not possible when I was growing up. If I want to write down my life every day, at the end of the day, it's called a diary. And I write it down, and of course I don't have, if I were to. And I want to keep this private. I will open my heart and my mind to myself as I pen down, what did I do throughout this day? How did I feel throughout this day? What did I say wrong? What did I do wrong? Why am I so upset? Why am I so angry? All these, my innermost feeling and thoughts will be inside. I won't want to share with anyone. I keep it secret because it's very private. But nowadays, it's so different. And because we are Christians, so we have to be very, very more conscious and extra careful. Because the Lord Jesus Christ, his name is now on the line as well, not just yours. There are some who would like to put up on the website either this account or that account, whatever account that all of you have. You put photos of yourself, you take pictures of yourself, selfie of yourself, whereby you look very worldly. Whereby the appeal and the attraction is your carnal self. And yet people know that you are a Christian. There are a lot of people in the church who know that you are a Christian, and you have them on your friend where they can access and see. What do you think they're going to say about you? How are they going to share your life with others when they see all these pictures? When they see all these photos? There was a case of a preacher where the children of the preacher put on their internet account pictures of themselves with makeup, with lipstick, and so on. And then they deliberately take pictures where they give themselves that kind of a sultry look, the kind of seductive look. And they were young children, teenagers. And so straight away we talked to the father, the preacher. Do you know that this is what your children are doing? He did not know. Your family's life is being shared by your own children in this manner. People that you come into contact with, they are going to share your life. They're going to talk about your life. They're going to tell people the way that they interacted with you, the way that they listened to your teaching, your preaching. Because now it's all on the internet. Then you put yourself up into the open with so many accounts. Can you keep track of all the accounts you put up week after week, month after month, for years? You have a whole long history. Can you remember all the things that you put down? Because when people read it, they're going to talk about you. They're going to share your life. That's why you have to understand the means in which your life will be shared. Not just so much by yourself. With yourself, you'll be very careful, right? And not many people know you. Compared to so many people, 10 people, for example, know you. And these 10 people tell 10 of their friends whom you do not know. They talk about you. And then they in turn tell another 10 each. And from that kind of exponential spread, in a very short while, a few hundred people would know about you. Simply because of the first 10 that you impacted. For Christ, praise the Lord. If it is not for Christ, you are in trouble. Do you not agree? That's why we have to be very careful and conscious. The Bible is not telling us to be a hypocrite, to pretend to be someone that you are not. The Apostle Paul knew that Tychicus, who was a beloved brother and a faithful minister, he will tell the truth. He will take whatever message, and then he will arrive in the church in Ephesus, and he will share with them how Paul was doing in prison, who are some of the people who visited him, and how the Apostle Paul would counsel them, and instead of them counseling him and comforting him, he was the one who comforted them, even though he was the one under house arrest and in prison. So he will share, he will talk to them, because I'm sure the Christians in the church in Ephesus, whom the Apostle Paul spent the longest time, if not the longest, one of the longest time in the city of Ephesus, 3 years, according to the book of Acts. Very rarely was he able to spend such a long period of time, but he did to the church in Ephesus. And so I'm sure there must be many, many believers who were very concerned because they loved the Apostle Paul. They spent a lot of time with him and he with them. And so Paul sent Tychicus, "You tell them about me. You tell them about how I'm doing," right? That's what he says, "how I do. Make known to them all things, what I'm going through, so that they will not be overly concerned, so that they will know how to pray for me, so that they will be encouraged and be strengthened to know that their spiritual father, the Apostle Paul, whom the Lord used to bless them so much, not just to give them the gospel, but to help them mature in the faith, that he is prepared to die for the Lord Jesus Christ. May this encourage them and help them to be courageous too." Because that was the testimony you read in Philippians. The impact. Sure, there will be enemies. They're going to slander you. They're going to share about all the lies and all the terrible things. Even if you are perfect, they will do that. Did they not do that to the Lord Jesus Christ? Did they not come out with a big bunch of lies and present it to Pilate, trying to get Jesus Christ crucified? They're going to do that anyway. But don't give them any legitimate reason that is truthful to spread and bring down the holy witness for the Lord Jesus Christ that you have been spending most of your life from the day you were born again trying to establish and build up. That was what the Apostle Paul tried to do. That was what the false teachers in Galatia as well as in Corinth tried to undermine and destroy. There will be enemies who will do that to your life and to your testimony, so that there will be fewer and fewer people following you as you follow Christ. There will be fewer and fewer people who will be encouraged by your life and testimony. They're going to tear it down. It's going to happen, but don't give them any real, legitimate ammunition. So when you come into contact with people, let's say you don't say anything, what do you think will be the message of the person who interacted with you? Oh yeah, this haven't quite right. He's very unfriendly, you know. Never open his mouth, never talk. I talk to him, say yes, no, answer, that's it. So, how did they share your life with other people whom I don't even know? He's not friendly. He's very cold. What kind of pastor is he? Talk to him, yes, no, answer, never ask anything back, and that's it. He must just spend his time on an ivory tower. So this person had one experience with me, and this was what he has taken away from that 10 minutes, 15 minutes of interaction. And then how did he share? Oh, this Reverend Quack. Oh, yeah, he's like this, like this, like this, like this. And that's it. Do I know any of these people? No. But they just shared my life. They just told them about who I am based upon the 10, 15 minutes of encounter. Then you say, it's not fair. It's nothing about fair or not fair. This is reality. This is the reality of interaction. And you and I have to know it. That's the means in which your life will be shared by people. If anyone speaks to you and asks about me, what will you say? You tell them, go and talk to him yourself. No, I want your opinion of him. They will insist. What are you going to say? So my time with you, any private interaction, most of you don't have with me. Your session members, yes. More than many of you. And so you will only tell based upon maybe the pulpit and you seated there. Any personal private interaction? Hardly any. Especially now with COVID, even more restrictive. Now what are you going to say? Paul trusted Tychicus. He's not going to add, he's not going to subtract. He knows that Tychicus will be honest and truthful. Paul was not perfect. Nobody is except Christ. And if Tychicus wants to highlight Paul's shortcomings, I'm sure he had, like all of us. No exception. That's what the Lord tells us. Even Elijah, so mightily used by God, he was a man of like passions, like as we are. Right? Tychicus could also mention a lot of the negatives of the Apostle Paul, if he so choose to do so. But will that help and encourage the Christians in the church in Ephesus when he arrived and tell them about Paul's struggles? Oh, Paul, when he struggled, when he was in under arrest, there was one day he woke up, he was murmuring and complaining and he lost his temper. It's so easy, isn't it, to highlight the shortcomings of anyone. Easy. That is why you have to realize and understand what's your purpose. What is your purpose of sharing? What is the purpose, Tychicus, of you sharing the Apostle Paul? To bring down the estimation that the Christians in Ephesus have of the Apostle Paul? What is your purpose? Whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that ye might know our affairs and that he might comfort your hearts. The purpose was to build up. The purpose was to encourage, to comfort hearts that were worrying about the Apostle Paul's well-being, physical and spiritual. That's the purpose. You have to know the purpose. When you open your mouth and share your life, when you open your mouth and describe somebody or share somebody else's life to this person, what is your purpose? We're not asking you to flatter. We're not asking you to tell lies. We are asking you to be very, very selective in what you share about people that you know. Very important. Especially to fellow believers. What do you gain, for example, by highlighting my shortcomings? I have plenty. Those who attend my Bible studies, you talk to them, you ask them, I'm sure they will tell you my shortcomings. I've been teaching some Bible study groups since I returned from America, and that is nearly 30 years. Twice a month, except for certain months, like June because of the camp, and December because of sometimes my mission trips. But 10 months for the past 30 years, 2 Bible studies per month. Will there be moments I transgress? Plentiful. You want them to share with you? They can. But what is the purpose? You want to bring down my estimation in the eyes of these people so that they will not listen to my preaching and teaching? Go ahead. I can't stop you. But how will that help the person? If I'm preaching nonsense, if I'm teaching things that are not biblical, please go ahead. Warn others, don't listen to my preaching, don't listen to my teaching. But if my preaching and teaching are sound and conservative, and you want to bring me down in the estimation of others, you are doing the work of the devil. You are sharing my life by highlighting the negative. And there will be many. Like passions as we are, we all have. You have, I have. We call it gossip. We call it slander. You share your lives with one another. I'm sure you talk about this person or that person. Sure, there will be times, there will be occasions where you have to, because it is your responsibility. So-and-so may be put up for this position of leadership. You know about this person's background that is not good. And if you keep silent and this person is put in a position of leadership, and then this person messed up and hurt the ministry, you are responsible. Why did you tell us? You know about this problem that this person has and you don't tell us? We're not talking about those kind of responsibilities where you are supposed to evaluate if this person is worthy to be a leader in this ministry, to be a deacon, to be a pastor, to be an elder, whatever. There may be a secret life that we are not aware of, that this person is committing. You are aware of it. You have to tell. We're not talking about that kind of testimony, that kind of knowledge. It's your responsibility. We are talking about your day-to-day conversation with people. How many times we tell person A and person B about so-and-so because so-and-so is upset with me and therefore I want to win people to my side and therefore I tell you and you and you and you and you about so-and-so so that you all will have a lower estimation of him and therefore hopefully you will not believe him and you will believe me and you will take my side and not that person. I'm sure all of us have committed that transgression. And the devil wins all round. We all get hurt. And we should have just simply kept quiet and trusted in the Lord. And if that person has something against me, and if that person wants to tell so many people and bring me down, that doesn't make it right for me to tell other people and bring him down. I should never respond that way. Because the Bible teaches us, a soft answer turneth away wrath. And in years to come, you're going to regret. Because not only have you fallen into the trap of the devil, but that kind of testimony where the purpose is to garner support for yourself rather than to build people up, you have been used by the devil to tear everybody down. The Apostle Paul's purpose of sending Tychicus was to build them up, to encourage them. They don't have television, don't have telephone. They don't have any modern communication. The only way to communicate would be to send someone who will travel a long distance from point A to point B, and this was a long distance from Rome all the way to Ephesus in Asia Minor, present-day Turkey. That's a long, long trip. But it was needful because of the concern that Paul had for the brethren in Ephesus and likewise. Why is it so hard for us to have the purpose of sharing our lives and the lives of other people by highlighting their good points and stop criticizing and stop tearing down by building up? Why are we so stingy in sharing good points about others to build people up? But why are we so liberal and give freely all the negatives to tear down this person, to tear down that person, to bring this person down? The church will be completely different. Our relationship with one another will also be completely improved if we were to highlight each other's strengths and good points and encourage one another to become better in our weak points instead of doing it the other way around. Highlight all the negatives and then tear down the positive. Why do we do that? As unbelievers understand, that's the world. They are characterized by that because they feel threatened. The world wants to promote self. And so if I want to promote myself, I'm going to tear you down. I can't tell people how good you are, how you are better than me, because if you are good and you are better than me, I get demoted. You will get promoted above me, and so therefore I cannot tell the bosses that you are more efficient, you are smarter, you are cleverer, you are everything better than me. I keep quiet. And so I will try my best to sabotage you and try to spot all your negative and your weaknesses, which I know everyone has. But we are talking about the church. We are talking about fellow believers. We are in the same family of God. Every one of us are here to promote one person, and that person is none other than Jesus Christ. And so by building you up, by telling other people that that person is a better pianist than me, that person is a better preacher and teacher of God's word than me, how is that bad? How is that evil? Isn't that a good thing to say? Isn't that the right thing to say? That person can preach better than me, can teach better than me, can serve better than me. He has a tremendous gift of hospitality, of administration. Use him. Don't use me, I'm not that good. This person is better, please use him. The ministry will be better, the person will be encouraged, everybody will be blessed. Sure, you will not become noticed. You will recede into the background. Fine. Isn't that what we are supposed to be as servants of God, where Christ must increase and I decrease? Or would you rather say, I'm better, but you know you're not. Choose me. I will do a better job, and therefore you are thrust into the limelight and the work suffers because there is someone better than you should have been doing it, and the work should and would have been better if you are not doing it and the other person is doing it, but you insisted. and everybody gets hurt. But you become well known. You become more famous than this other person. He may be your junior, but he has advanced better than you, faster than you, he's better than you, but you won't let him. The sinful man is very much alive, even though the sinful nature is gone, isn't it? The purpose. Before you open your mouth and share about yourself and others, how to share your life of others and of yourself. Remember the purpose. The Apostle Paul sent Tychicus, that you might know our affairs and that you may comfort your heart. It's for your own good. Paul was not asking Tychicus to go and brag and tell the whole world how great a sufferer for Christ I am. No. That was not his purpose. Paul doesn't want to promote himself. Paul was not interested about himself, his reputation. When he defended his apostleship, it was solely for the promotion of Christ and Christ's work. It was for the spiritual well-being of the Christians in Galatia and in Corinth that he defended his apostleship, not for personal gain or honor. Because to reject his apostleship means you have to reject all the epistles written by Paul. To reject his apostleship means to throw away his gospel as well. If Paul's gospel and Paul's epistles were not from Christ, not from heaven, throw it away. But if they are from God and from heaven, and when they attack the apostle Paul's apostleship and Paul were to keep quiet, silence means consent. That's why Paul had no choice. He was backed to a corner and he was forced to talk about the legitimacy and the biblical calling of his apostleship as an apostle to the Gentiles. Not for personal, but for the glory of Christ and for the blessing and benefit of God's people. And that's why he sent Tychicus. The purpose was for their spiritual well-being and their peace of mind. He knows they loved him, and he loved them in turn. And when you love someone, and you do not know what the outcome, what the issue or situation is, because they all knew that he was on his way to prison. If you read Acts chapter 2, he called the elders and he talked to them and he warned them about the two kinds of enemies that will come. Grievous wolf will enter in and not sparing the flock, and men will rise up from within and draw others unto themselves. Acts 20. And how he spent that 3 years with teaching, night and day, with tears, building them up in the faith. And they all knew when he arrived in Jerusalem, he will be arrested and he will be sent to Rome. Is it too far-fetched for us to say that they were very concerned for his condition? They don't even know whether he was alive or dead. Remember, this was first century. No electricity. And you know, it's easy to pass rumors around. A traveler will come. Oh, you come from Rome. Do you hear about this prisoner called Paul or not? Even if they do not have, they just anyhow gossip and say something. You wouldn't even know whether it is true or not true until someone like Tychicus, who personally knows the Apostle Paul, whom Paul himself considered as my beloved brother and faithful minister. I trust him, and therefore you can trust what he says about me. When we interact with one another, our underlying unstated assumption is you are a beloved brother or sister and a faithful servant of Christ. And so we bear our heart, we open our heart to you, and we share our lives with you. We are standing before you as someone whom you see and know. That's exactly who we are. And then you will take the information. Now what you do with it, we can't stop you. You can twist it. You can distort it. We can't stop you. That's how your life and my life will be shared. Therefore, tell the truth. Be yourself. Be genuine. Be sincere. That's how your purpose to build up and encourage people will occur. Paul was himself with them and they loved him. 3 years. How could he pretend? 3 years. Most of the time in so many other cities, a few weeks, driven out by persecution. But here in Ephesus, he stayed for 3 years. And they did not know his condition. The one that you love and care for, you want to know their condition. We know that some people take the booster jab for COVID. They might have reaction. My daughter just took hers on Friday. So as parents, of course, we ask how she feels. And now with modern technology, we just use our phone and we WhatsApp. So we waited 24 hours. The next day, next morning, how are you feeling? Then by 24 hours, we ask her, how are you feeling? And she straight away replied. And she tells us, I'm okay. A little uncomfortable, but okay. She can still prepare the dinner for herself and for her husband. Concern. Immediate reply. If there's no reply, of course we're going to WhatsApp again. Call. Find out how she's doing. And we're talking about just some simple vaccination. Imprisonment. Death. Paul had to send Tychicus to give them peace of mind. The purpose was genuine, it was sincere. And that's how you should share your life with one another. Sure, there will be wolves in sheep's clothing. But don't allow them, because of some wolves in sheep's clothing that may have crept into the church in Truth BPC, stop you from sharing your life with sincerity and transparency. Because there are more genuine brothers and sisters in Christ in your midst than wolves in sheep's clothing. Sure, there will be people who will take and distort it and malign you. It will happen. But that does not and must not stop you from sharing your life with honesty, with sincerity, to people that you really consider as your heavenly family that you're going to spend eternity with. And God has brought them into your life on this earth, right here and now, so that you can experience your earthly experiences with your heavenly eternal family right now. And so treat each other as genuine, sincere brothers and sisters in Christ that we are going to be with forever and ever. Would you do that? Don't be a hypocrite. Don't pretend, because you're going to be the loser. How long can you pretend to be someone you are not? The purpose is to build up. Not to be gossipers and not to be slanderers and not to be spies on each other. That is the devil's work. And if you are such, and some of you may be betrayed and be burned, don't be disheartened and then retreat into a shell like a tortoise. Every time you see someone, everything goes into the shell. Don't do that. But you've been burned. Fine. The Lord Jesus Christ had been burned many times over and had been burned until charcoal black, right? Even his own disciple betrayed him. Peter. I don't know him. 3 times. Remember? Did the Lord Jesus Christ still come down and die for us? Yes. You share your life in all transparency and honesty. And let others, perhaps 9 out of 10, will share with others your life in sincerity and in transparency, so that your life will truly be an encouragement to others, and the result, blessing. And that's what we see, verses 23 and 24, blessing. That's all you want, to be a blessing, to help people look to Christ. That must be your heart's cry, to be a blessing. To point people to Christ, whereby you become invisible and forgotten. And whenever they think of you, they think of the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm sure that's what the Apostle Paul wanted. That whenever you think of the Apostle Paul, please see Christ in me. May Christ be brought to remembrance whenever you think of Paul. How he was prepared to suffer and to die for Christ. How he endured so much pain and suffering, with shipwreck, with scourging, with stoning, with imprisonment for the sake of Christ. Whenever you think of Paul, don't think of Paul the man. Think of Paul's Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And that's what we must become as the result. We know the purpose, but we must also know the result is one of blessing. And the greatest blessing you can ever give to yourself and to your children and to everybody is, let people see Christ in me. And so, peace be to the brethren and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. You see, he shared with them, this is what I truly, sincerely want for all of you. That you will have peace with Christ, with one another. That you will love one another with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. That was his intent. The result. With the purpose of building them up toward whom? Toward the Lord. Strengthened in the faith and in the inner man through your life. You know, one of the things that is very revealing is the eulogy. What people say, what your loved one who's supposed to know you best say about you. I pray and hope that if the Lord tarries and it is my time to leave this world, and when the eulogy is spoken, I don't want them to talk about me because of me. Paul doesn't want them to talk about him because of him. He wanted them to talk about him because of Christ. Mention only all those experiences that you have with me in relation to Christ. Don't remember me. There is nothing worthy to be remembered. That's the world. The world wants people to remember, I have been here, I have been there. And so they build monuments. They establish foundations after their own name. They give big chunks of money in order that hospitals, orphanages, or big buildings, or whatever it is, may be named after them. So that long after they are gone, their names will still be mentioned. But for us, as children of God, may you have peace among the brethren. And love, together with faith, that we all have received from our Heavenly Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. And may the grace of God, which are blessings upon blessings that we don't deserve, be upon all of you. And that our love, that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. He wanted the blessing for them. He wanted the best for them in Christ. He wanted them to become more and more like the Lord Jesus Christ. That's how he wanted to share his life, even when he was in prison, even though he could not do it physically and personally. The means through others, the purpose to build up, the result, blessing in Christ, the outcome. And I hope that when you share your life with people, day by day, little by little, week by week, with your children, with your spouses, with your friends, and with one another, that you will remember these three simple points. The means through the people you meet. They're going to talk about you. People will ask them about you. The purpose. Build up. And people ask you about so-and-so. Build up their faith. Oh, this person? Highlight that which will build up the person's faith. And the result, point them to the Savior. Because when you talk about so-and-so in relation to Christ, automatically, what do you think will be the result? Point them to the Savior. And that's what we need to do now more so than at any time in the history of the church, because it is the last days. Christianity has already crumbled into ruins. There are very few churches like Truth BP Church nowadays, not just in Singapore, but all over the world. All those countries that have been first touched by the Word of God has now collapsed. You look at Europe, And then you look at Britain. And then through the Mayflower, you cross the ocean into America. They're all crumbling and all dying. We are like the final remnant before the Lord soon return. The devil will try its utmost to hurt you and to destroy you. And if we begin to hurt and destroy one another, what else is left? Nothing. Don't do the work of the devil by slandering and hurting one another. Share your life to build up each other's faith, resulting in everyone loving the Lord Jesus Christ more and more because of each other's sharing of lives. Don't be a recluse. Don't hide. Share. That's why you have been saved and left behind by your Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, to let your life impact the lives of others. We are all not perfect. There will be moments when we are going to wake up and it may not be a good day, where we may say a word out of turn, or we may raise our voices, or we may be short-tempered, whatever it is. Let the love of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, cover a multitude of sin, whereby we also learn to forgive one another. Isn't that also a blessing in itself? Hurting one another, and out of it we learn to forgive one another, which in turn will strengthen and deepen that bond than ever before. Many husbands and wives, you ask them, how strong is your commitment toward each other? You ask the person who has been married for 30 years, 40 years. They say very strong. How did you get this kind of strength? Oh, through many, many years of misunderstanding, many years of hurting one another and forgiving one another. Because now we know that after 30, 40 years, we are still very much in love and we are still very much married together. And all these unhappiness, all this hurt and pain did not destroy our marriage. It makes us stronger and stronger as we learn to forgive one another, and it deepens our love for each other in many different dimensions that would not have been possible if we did not have all our mutual hurting and forgiving. And that's true for us as well. So do not run and hide, and don't share your life. You're supposed to share your life. That's why the Lord saved you and left you behind and placed you here in Truth BP Church in a time like this. And by staying away and by just simply come, go and say hi, bye and disappear, you are in fact hurting others and yourself. Because when people are asked about you, oh, this person just come and go and disappear, you are to be an positive impact to God's people in the church. And you can't do that if you are not serving. You can't do that if you are not sharing your life with others. But I will get hurt. Yes, all of us will get hurt. But isn't that what sharing your life is supposed to be on this earth? But the Lord has really assured us, even when you hurt others and others hurt you, my love and your love for them in Christ will be strong enough to help you overcome that hurt. And you are going to turn that theory into experience. And that's exactly what Christianity is all about. How to share your life. May God help us. Let us pray. Our gracious, loving Heavenly Father, we thank Thee, Lord, that you have spared us time and time again, for you could have taken our lives, just as you took the lives of Ananias and Sapphira when they sinned against thee in the church by lying to the Holy Spirit. For we have committed transgressions upon transgressions, much, much more than what Ananias and Sapphira committed against you. And yet, O Lord, in thy great grace and mercies, you have not taken us home to glory. You have allowed us to remain behind, and you have granted us opportunity after opportunity, season upon season, so that we may persevere in well-doing, knowing that we continue in well-doing and not be weary. We will reap what we have sown to the praise and glory of thy holy name. And this life that we live, through the impact of our shared lives with others, will encourage others, build up the faith of others, and bring glory to thy holy name. For that is indeed the reason why you have saved us and left us behind to do in Truth BP Church. May we not be disheartened or be discouraged, especially those who have been hurt. Help us, O Lord, through the love for our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, and for one another, to learn to forgive and to overcome whatever hurt or pain that we may have inflicted upon others and others upon us as well. For in Christ Jesus, his love is able to cover a multitude of sin, and may this be our experience as we learn daily to share our lives one with another. For Jesus' sake, hear our cry. In Jesus' most precious and holy name, we give thanks and pray. Amen.